Money problems don't start in your wallet, they start in your mind. Every day, people say they'll start saving tomorrow, they mean it. But then something comes up, a sale, a craving, a quick swipe of the card, and tomorrow never comes. You work hard, yet the money never seems to stay. You feel frustrated, maybe even guilty, wondering why it's so hard to stop overspending. But what if the problem isn't money itself? It's the way we've been taught to think about it. This audiobook, The Art of Saving Money, How to Stop Overspending and Start Saving Money, isn't about cutting joy out of your life. It's about taking control, feeling proud of every dollar you keep, and finding peace instead of pressure. You'll learn how to change your habits, your mindset, and your relationship with money step by step, in real life, not theory. If you're tired of stress and ready for change, this is where it starts. Chapter 1. Notice what triggers your urge to overspend. Every person wants to save money, but few truly understand what pulls them away from it. The first step to mastering the art of saving is not about budgets, calculators, or fancy tools. It's about awareness. It's about noticing what triggers the urge to overspend, because before you can control your money, you must first control the feelings that make you reach for your wallet when you don't need to. When you think about your spending, it's not just about what you buy. It's about what happens right before you buy. There's always something, a thought, a feeling, a situation. Maybe it's boredom. Maybe it's stress. Maybe it's the little rush you feel when you walk into a store or scroll through a sale online. That moment matters more than the money itself, because that's where your decisions are made. Every purchase begins in the mind, long before it happens in the store. The truth is, people don't overspend because they don't know better. They overspend because they don't stop long enough to see what's really happening. The brain loves pleasure. It wants comfort. It wants relief. So when life feels hard, when you're tired or lonely or uncertain, it whispers, "Buy something. You'll feel better." And maybe you do, but only for a moment. Then the guilt sets in, the numbers in your account drop, and the stress doubles. This is how so many people end up trapped in a cycle, spending to feel good and feeling bad because they spent. To stop this, you must slow down. You have to start noticing the pattern. When you feel that pull to buy, stop and ask yourself what's really going on. Are you trying to fix an emotion with money? Are you looking for a quick distraction? This is not about judging yourself. It's about understanding yourself. Awareness is not about guilt. It's about clarity. Once you can see your pattern clearly, you have the power to change it. Think about the last time you spent money you didn't plan to. What happened before that? Maybe you had a rough day at work. Maybe you scrolled through social media and saw someone showing off something new. Maybe you felt left out, or you wanted to feel in control. The world around you is full of triggers. Ads are designed to make you want more. Social media shows you what others have, but not what they sacrifice to get it. The stores are built to make you stay longer, see more, and spend more. You're not weak for being affected by these things. You're human. But being human doesn't mean being helpless. It means learning to see the game for what it is and choosing differently. When you become aware of your triggers, you start to take back control. You begin to pause before reacting. You start asking yourself, "Do I need this, or do I just want to feel something?" That one question can save you hundreds, even thousands of dollars over time. But more than that, it saves your peace. Because overspending is not just a money problem, it's an emotional one. It leaves you feeling empty, frustrated, and stuck. Saving money, on the other hand, gives you freedom. It gives you options. It gives you pride in yourself. One of the most powerful habits you can build is to journal your spending. Not to punish yourself, but to see your patterns clearly. Write down what you bought, how you felt before buying it, and how you felt after. Within a week, you'll start to notice the truth. You'll see the emotional triggers. Maybe you spend more when you're tired, when you're around certain people, or when you're scrolling at night. Once you see the pattern, you can interrupt it. You can decide, when I feel stressed, instead of shopping, I'll go for a walk. I'll call a friend. I'll breathe. I'll do something that feeds my peace, not drains my pocket. The small choices are where transformation begins. Most people want to save money through big, dramatic changes. But the truth is, real change happens in the quiet moments. It happens when you choose not to click add to cart. It happens when you walk past a sale and remind yourself that peace of mind is worth more than another item. It happens when you decide you'd rather see your bank account grow than your closet fill up. The challenge is not in earning money, it's in keeping it. Because saving is not about numbers, it's about self-control. It's about teaching your mind to wait, to think, to value the future over the moment. You don't need to live with restriction, you just need to live with awareness. When you become aware, you don't fall for every sale, every urge, every emotion that says, you need this. You begin to see clearly, no, I just need stability. I just need peace. There's a quiet power that comes when you resist the urge to overspend. It's not loud, it's not flashy, but it builds strength inside you. Each time you say no to an impulse, you're saying yes to your goals. You're saying yes to your future. You're saying yes to becoming the kind of person who doesn't need to chase satisfaction through things. That kind of strength doesn't show up in what you wear or drive. It shows up in your calm, your confidence, your freedom. Money management starts in the mind. If you think you need to spend to feel happy, you'll always be chasing something you can never catch. But if you can learn to find happiness in discipline, peace in simplicity, and pride in saving, then no amount of temptation can control you. The goal is not to stop spending completely. The goal is to spend with awareness, to spend with purpose, and to never spend out of emptiness. Ask yourself, what do you really want? Not the quick hit of buying something new, but what do you truly want your money to do for you? Maybe you want to travel. Maybe you want to own a home. Maybe you want freedom from debt or the peace of knowing you're secure. Whatever that goal is, it deserves your focus more than any passing desire. When you think of that goal every day, your mind starts to shift. The things that once tempted you lose their power, because now your attention is on what matters most, your growth, your peace, your future. Every person has two choices when faced with temptation. They can react or they can reflect. Reaction is quick, emotional, and costly. Reflection is calm, thoughtful, and rewarding. In the few seconds before a purchase, you have that choice. And if you start to choose reflection, your whole life will begin to change. You'll start saving more, worrying less, and feeling proud of every decision you make. This is the art of saving money, not through complicated systems, but through understanding yourself deeply. When you master your thoughts, your emotions, and your habits, you master your finances. You don't need to wait for a raise, or a windfall, or luck. You just need awareness. Awareness creates space for better decisions, and better decisions create a better life. Every time you stop yourself from spending on impulse, you're training your mind to value discipline. You're building the muscle that keeps you strong in every area of life. Because if you can control how you spend, you can control how you live. Saving money isn't just about having more, it's about becoming more. It's about becoming the kind of person who doesn't get lost in the noise of temptation, but stays focused on purpose and peace. So the next time that urge comes, when your hand reaches for your card or your finger hovers over that buy now button, pause, take a breath, ask yourself, what am I really feeling right now? Maybe you'll find it's not the item you need, it's a break, a walk, a talk, or a moment of quiet. And in that small pause, you'll take back your power. Because real freedom doesn't come from what you can buy, it comes from what you can resist. And that's where the art of saving money truly begins. Chapter 2. Take full control of where your money goes. Most people don't lose control of their money overnight. It happens slowly, one small decision at a time, until they realize their income disappears faster than they can earn it. Taking full control of where your money goes is not about being strict or living without joy. It's about deciding what matters most and aligning your spending with that. You worked hard for your money. Every dollar you earn should have a clear purpose, not just vanish without your awareness. When you learn to direct your money with intention, you stop feeling like life is happening to you and start feeling like you're in charge again. The first step to taking control is awareness. You can't manage what you don't track. So begin by finding out exactly where your money goes each month. Most people think they know, but the truth is, they don't. They remember the big bills, the rent, the car payment, the groceries, but they forget the smaller ones that add up, the coffee on the way to work, the streaming subscriptions they no longer use, the spontaneous online orders. These little leaks are the reason money slips through your fingers. Write down everything you spend for 30 days, every dollar. It doesn't have to be fancy. A notebook, a simple app, or a spreadsheet will do. This is not about perfection, it's about honesty. Once you see the full picture, you'll feel more powerful because you'll finally understand what's really happening. When you see where your money goes, something changes inside you. You start to recognize patterns. Maybe you notice that you spend more on weekends, or that eating out costs more than you realized, or that impulse shopping happens when you're bored or tired. This awareness gives you control. It's not about guilt, it's about choice. You can't change what you won't confront, so confront your numbers, not with judgment, but with determination. Tell yourself, "This time, I decide where my money goes." The second step is to make a plan. A plan gives direction. Without it, money flows wherever emotion takes it. A plan gives every dollar a job. You don't need to call it a budget if that word feels heavy. Think of it as a spending guide, a simple plan for your life's priorities. Start with your essentials: housing, food, transportation, bills. Then move to your goals: savings, debt, payments, investments. Finally, add what brings you joy: entertainment, hobbies, personal care. The order matters. Essentials first, future second, pleasures last. Because control means making sure your needs and your goals come before your wants. Too many people let their lifestyle grow faster than their income. They get a raise, and instead of saving, they spend more. That's not control, that's reaction. Real control means when your income grows, your discipline grows with it. You start saving more, not spending more. You direct the increase toward things that bring peace, not stress. The goal is not to have more stuff. The goal is to have more choices. Taking control also means simplifying. The more complicated your finances are, the harder they are to manage. Simplify your accounts, your bills, your habits. Cancel what you don't use. Combine where you can. Create automatic payments for important bills and automatic transfers for savings. Automation isn't just convenience, it's protection against forgetfulness and temptation. When saving becomes automatic, it's not a battle anymore. You remove the need to decide every time. The less you rely on willpower, the easier control becomes. But control isn't only about systems, it's also about mindset. You have to see yourself as the owner, not the victim, of your money. You are the one making the choices, not the one being pulled by circumstances. If your money feels tight, don't say, "I can't afford it." Say, "I choose not to spend on that right now." One statement makes you powerless, the other keeps you in charge. Every time you use your words to express control, you strengthen your discipline. One of the most powerful exercises you can do is to name your priorities clearly. Write down what you truly want your money to do for you. Maybe it's building an emergency fund, paying off debt, saving for a home, or starting a small business. Whatever it is, write it down and remind yourself often. Then, each time you make a purchase, ask one simple question. Does this bring me closer to my goal or take me farther away? That one question can transform your entire financial life. It moves you from impulsive spending to intentional spending. You start directing your money with clarity and purpose. Control also means accountability. Review your finances every week, even if it's just for 15 minutes. Look at what you earned, what you spent, and what's left. Ask yourself what went right and what can be improved next week. This habit turns control into a lifestyle. It keeps you alert. It keeps you honest. You'll start noticing progress faster than you expect. And that feeling, seeing your balance grow, watching debts shrink, feeling calm instead of anxious, is what makes control deeply satisfying. But there's another side to control that's often overlooked: self-respect. When you start managing your money wisely, you begin to respect yourself more. You stop chasing temporary pleasure and start valuing long-term peace. You stop working just to spend and start working to build. You stop waiting for someday and start creating progress today. That respect spills over into every part of your life, your relationships, your health, your confidence. Because when you can manage your money, you can manage anything. Don't underestimate the emotional power of control. When you know exactly where your money goes, life feels lighter. You stop waking up with stress about bills or guilt about purchases. You move through your day knowing you're building something solid. That feeling peace of mind is worth more than anything you could buy. Sometimes people avoid taking control because they fear what they'll find. They think looking at their finances will make them feel worse. But the truth is, avoidance keeps you stuck. Awareness sets you free. The first time you face your numbers, it might sting. But that's not pain, it's clarity. And clarity is the beginning of change. Once you know, you can act. Once you act, you can improve. Every strong structure starts with a clear foundation, and financial control is that foundation. Another important part of control is balance. Don't confuse control with restriction. You're not punishing yourself, you're protecting yourself. It's okay to enjoy your money. The difference is, you enjoy it by choice, not by impulse. You can plan for fun. You can include joy in your budget. In fact, you should. When you plan joy, you remove guilt from spending. That's control at its best, spending with intention, saving with pride, living with peace. To maintain control, you must stay consistent. Discipline isn't built in a day. It's built through repetition, through small wins that build confidence. Celebrate progress. When you hit a savings goal, acknowledge it. When you avoid an unnecessary purchase, appreciate your strength. These small victories keep you motivated. They remind you that you're changing your story one decision at a time. You may not be able to change your income overnight, but you can change your control today. Every action you take with awareness shifts your future. Every time you tell your money where to go, you're writing your own financial destiny. Control gives you power. It gives you peace. It gives you a sense of direction that no raise or windfall can match. The art of saving money begins with ownership. Ownership of your actions, your habits, your emotions, and your direction. When you take full control of where your money goes, You move from confusion to confidence. You stop reacting to life and start shaping it. You realize that money is not just a tool, it's a reflection of your choices. And when your choices come from clarity, your life begins to transform. The future belongs to those who take control today. Not someday, not when things are perfect, but now. Because the moment you decide where your money goes, your life starts moving toward freedom. Control your money, or it will control you. The choice is always yours.
Chapter 3. Break the habit of buying to feel better. Many people spend money not because they need something, but because they want to feel better. They're not buying a product, they're buying relief, they're buying a moment of comfort, a little escape from pressure, or a way to fill an empty space inside. Breaking the habit of buying to feel better begins with understanding that emotional spending doesn't solve emotional pain. It hides it for a few minutes and then makes it worse. The real strength lies in learning how to face what you feel without reaching for your card. When you buy something for the sake of feeling better, you're chasing a temporary high. It's a rush that fades quickly, and once it's gone, you're left with regret. You might tell yourself it was just a small purchase, but over time, those small moments build a pattern. A pattern that drains your wallet, weakens your discipline, and creates emotional dependence. To break this habit, you need to pause long enough to see what's really happening beneath the surface, because it's not about the item, it's about what the item represents. It's about wanting to feel safe, happy, important, or in control. Start by identifying when you're most likely to spend emotionally. Maybe it's after a long day, when you're tired and need comfort. Maybe it's on weekends when you feel lonely or bored. Maybe it's when you scroll through social media and compare your life to others. Awareness is the first step. Emotional spending thrives on autopilot. When you bring your behavior into the light, it starts to lose its power. Notice the moments when the urge to buy something appears. Don't rush to fight it, just notice it. Recognize what triggered it. Ask yourself, what am I trying to fix right now? Once you understand your triggers, you can start creating space between the feeling and the action. Most people don't give themselves that space. The moment the emotion hits, they act on it. But if you can wait, even for 5 minutes, you take back control. In those 5 minutes, breathe deeply, walk around or step outside. Do something that calms you down and gives you perspective. Remind yourself that feelings pass faster than you think. You don't need to buy something to make them go away. You just need to let them move through you. The truth is, emotional spending is often a signal that something deeper needs attention. When you're unhappy with your job, your relationships, or your direction in life, it's easy to use money as a distraction. You might not even realize it, but every impulsive purchase says, I need to feel something different. Instead of numbing that feeling, listen to it. Ask yourself what you really need. Maybe it's rest. Maybe it's connection. Maybe it's progress in a goal you've been avoiding. Those needs can't be met with things. They're met with actions that build genuine fulfillment. To break this habit, you have to build new ways to comfort yourself. Buying something might give you a few minutes of excitement, but real comfort comes from habits that feed your mind and body. Replace the shopping habit with something healthier. When you feel low, call someone who lifts your spirit. Go for a walk and let your thoughts settle. Write down what you're feeling instead of trying to escape it. Spend time creating, learning, or exercise. Each time you choose a better response, you weaken the emotional link between money and relief. It also helps to make your environment support your new choices. Unsubscribe from marketing emails, limit your exposure to ads and influencers that make you feel like you're missing out. The goal isn't to live in isolation, it's to remove unnecessary temptation. because emotional spending doesn't start in your wallet, it starts in your environment. When you constantly see things that promise happiness, it's easy to start believing them. But the truth is, happiness doesn't come from what you buy. It comes from who you become. Start giving your money a mission. When your money has direction, it's easier to resist distraction. Every time you feel tempted to buy something for comfort, think about what that same amount could do for your future. Maybe it could go toward your emergency fund, your dream vacation, or your debt freedom. Give every dollar a purpose that inspires you. When your goals are strong, your impulses lose their grip. You can also use a simple habit that many successful savers use. Wait before you buy. Create a 24-hour or 48-hour rule. When you see something you want, don't buy it right away. Add it to a list. If you still want it after a day or two, then you can decide with a clear mind. Most of the time you'll find the desire fades, and you'll be glad you waited. This small act trains your brain to think before acting, and that awareness is what builds long-term discipline. Another key part of breaking emotional spending is learning to sit with discomfort. Most people spend to avoid discomfort, the discomfort of boredom, sadness, stress, or even success. But discomfort is not the enemy, it's information. It tells you where you need growth. When you learn to feel emotions without trying to fix them with money, you become emotionally stronger. You stop running from yourself. That's when saving becomes easier, because you're no longer trying to use money to solve problems that money can't fix. You may notice that when you stop buying for comfort, emotions feel sharper at first. That's normal. You've removed the numbing tool. But as time goes on, you'll start to feel more in control, more peaceful, more self-aware. You'll realize you don't need to buy to feel good. You just need to take care of yourself in real ways. You'll rediscover simple pleasures, time with family, walks, reading, laughter, reflection. These are the moments that bring real satisfaction, not the fleeting buzz of a purchase. It's also important to forgive yourself for past mistakes. Maybe you've wasted money before. Maybe you've bought things you regret. That's okay. What matters is that you're learning now. Be kind to yourself. Growth doesn't come from punishment. It comes from understanding. Every time you choose awareness over impulse, you're rewriting your story. Breaking the habit of buying to feel better doesn't mean you'll never enjoy shopping again. It means you'll shop with intention. It means you'll buy things because they serve your goals, not your emotion. You'll feel proud of your purchases, not guilty afterward. And the more you practice this, the more empowered you become. In time, you'll notice something remarkable. Your sense of self-worth will no longer be tied to what you own. You'll stop using material things to prove your value. You'll start finding pride in your discipline, your peace, your progress. That's a level of confidence that no item can give you. When you can walk past something beautiful in a store and feel no urge to buy it, that's freedom. When you can scroll online and feel content with what you already have, that's power. This journey is not about restriction, it's about liberation. You're freeing yourself from the invisible strings that make you spend when you don't need to. You're choosing to live with awareness, not reaction. You're choosing to feel your feelings fully, without letting them control your actions. Over time, you'll notice your savings grow, your stress shrink, and your joy deepen. You'll wake up feeling lighter, knowing your choices align with your value. You'll begin to understand that money is not for escaping life, it's for building it. And that's when the real transformation happens. So the next time you feel that urge to buy something to lift your mood, pause, remind yourself that peace cannot be purchased. Look within and ask, what do I really need right now? Then give yourself that attention, rest, connection, or calm. Each time you do, you take another step toward emotional freedom. Because breaking the habit of buying to feel better isn't just about saving money, it's about finding happiness that doesn't need a price tag.
Chapter 4. Plan your week so money lasts longer. Making your money lasts the whole week is not about earning more, it's about planning better. Most people run out of money, not because they don't make enough, but because they don't plan ahead. They live day to day, reacting to expenses as they come, and by the weekend they wonder where it all went. The truth is, without a plan, money disappears quietly. When you plan your week, you give your money direction. You stop letting random choices control your spending, and you start managing your life with intention. Every week brings a predictable rhythm. There are days when you spend more, and days when you can save more. The key is to know in advance what's coming. Planning doesn't have to be complicated, it just needs to be clear. Start each week by sitting down for 10 minutes and looking at what lies ahead. Think about your meals, your errands, your social plans, your transportation, your small habits that cost money. When you know your schedule, you can prepare for expenses before they happen. That small step keeps you from spending mindlessly when you're tired, rushed, or unprepared. A big part of making money last is food planning. Eating out without a plan is one of the fastest ways to drain your wallet. When you buy lunch every day or order takeout because you didn't prepare, your money slips away unnoticed. Instead, decide in advance what you'll eat for the week. Write it down. Shop once for the ingredients, cook at home, and take meals with you. Not only will you save a significant amount of money, but you'll also save time and energy. Every home-cooked meal is a quiet victory for your financial stability. Another area that eats away at weekly budgets is impulse buying. It happens when you go to the store without a list, or when you browse online just to look. To avoid that trap, create a spending list before you step out or open an app. Stick to the list, no matter what catches your eye. A list gives your mind structure. Without it, every display and ad is designed to pull you off track. When you walk into a store with clarity, you walk out with control. It's also helpful to divide your weekly money into categories. Decide how much you'll spend on essentials, how much on small joys, and how much you'll save. You can use envelopes, a digital app, or a simple note on your phone. When you assign a limit to each area, you create boundaries that keep your money safe. If one area starts running low, it's a signal to pause and adjust rather than ignore the numbers until it's too late. Weekly planning also helps you see patterns in your spending. Maybe you spend more on weekends, or maybe certain days trigger unplanned costs. When you know your pattern, you can prepare for it. If Fridays are your weak spot, plan an activity that doesn't cost much. Watch a movie at home, cook something special, or meet friends for a walk instead of dinner out. Planning doesn't mean cutting out fun, it means being smart about how you enjoy it. The secret to making your money last longer is preparation. When you plan, you remove surprise expenses. Most financial stress doesn't come from big bills. It comes from small, unplanned ones that pile up. Planning your week helps you see them before they appear. You start to ask better questions. Do I really need this? Can I wait? Is there a cheaper way to do it? Those small questions change everything. They shift your mindset from reactive to proactive. A powerful habit is to give yourself a spending allowance for the week. Once you've covered your essentials and savings, decide on an amount that's yours to spend freely. This builds discipline without feeling deprived. When that amount runs out, you stop spending. It teaches you patience and balance. It also helps you feel more in control because you're making clear decisions rather than reacting to urges. Planning also means setting aside a small amount each week for unexpected expenses. Life always brings surprises, a forgotten gift, a broken item,
an unplanned trip. If you build a flex category into your weekly plan, these moments won't throw you off track. It's not about expecting problems, it's about being ready when they come. Time management and money management go hand in hand. The more organized your time, the less you waste money. When you plan your errands together, you save on fuel. When you prepare meals ahead, you save on takeout. When you know your schedule, you avoid last-minute spending that comes from rushing. Planning your week gives you structure, and structure saves money without effort. It's also important to track how your plan performs. At the end of each week, take 5 minutes to review how you did. Look at what went well and where you slipped. This is not about blaming yourself, it's about learning. Maybe you underestimated a category or forgot to include something. Adjust your plan for next week. Improvement happens through reflection. The more you understand your habits, the stronger your control becomes. You can even make weekly planning something enjoyable. Play your favorite music, make a cup of coffee, and treat it like a reset moment. This isn't about restriction, it's about peace. You're building a habit that supports your freedom. Because when your money lasts, your stress fades. You stop worrying about running out before payday. You stop feeling trapped by bills. You start to feel confident that your life is under control. That's not just a financial win, it's an emotional one. Another simple but effective part of planning your week is identifying no-spend days. Pick 1 or 2 days in the week where you decide you won't spend on anything outside of essentials. It sounds small, but it trains your discipline. You start realizing that not every day requires a purchase. It's a reminder that you can enjoy life without constantly spending. Small changes add up fast. When you start planning your week, you'll notice money staying in your account longer. You'll have fewer moments of regret and more moments of calm. Planning is not about perfection, it's about awareness and consistency. Even if your week doesn't go exactly as planned, the act of planning keeps you mindful. You'll catch yourself before unnecessary spending happens, and that's where real progress begins. To make this habit last, connect it to your goals. Remind yourself why you're planning in the first place. Maybe you want to pay off debt, build savings, or have more peace at home. Every plan you make brings you closer to that goal. When you plan your week, you're not just organizing numbers, you're designing your life. You're deciding how your energy, time, and money will work together to create stability. One more tip: plan small rewards that fit your budget. When you stick to your plan for the week, give yourself something simple that feels good. A walk, a special meal at home, an hour doing something you love. This builds positive reinforcement. You begin to associate planning with pleasure instead of restriction. Making money last longer doesn't happen by luck. It happens by choice, by consistency, by awareness. The more you practice weekly planning, the more natural it becomes. You'll find yourself thinking ahead automatically. You'll know what's coming, and you'll feel ready for it. And when you live that way, your finances stop being a source of anxiety and become a source of confidence. When you plan your week, you're not just managing money, you're managing life. You're saying, I choose direction over confusion. I choose order over chaos. You're building the habit of being intentional with what you have. And that habit, practiced week after week, transforms everything. You'll start realizing that it's not how much you make that determines your peace, it's how well you plan. When you can make your money last, you gain something far more valuable than cash. You gain control, freedom, and the calm that comes from knowing you're the one steering your life forward.
Chapter 5. Save first, and spend what is left only. Most people make the mistake of saving whatever is left after they spend. They pay the bills, buy what they want, handle small expenses, and then, if there's something left, they think about saving. But that way of living keeps you broke.
no matter how much you earn. The truth is simple. Saving must come first. When you save first and spend what is left, you reverse the pattern that keeps most people trapped in financial stress. You take control instead of waiting to see what's left. You choose your future before you choose your pleasures. Saving first is not about denying yourself, it's about protecting your priorities. It's saying my future matters as much as my present. It's deciding that the person you'll be 1 year from now deserves something from the work you're doing today. Every time you save before spending, you're building a bridge between today's effort and tomorrow's freedom. Most people don't fail to save because they can't, they fail because they never make it automatic. Saving shouldn't depend on willpower, it should depend on a system. The first step is to make saving automatic. As soon as you receive your income, decide on a percentage that goes directly to savings. It could be 10%, 15%, or even just 5% in the beginning. The amount is less important than the consistency. When you make saving a non-negotiable, it becomes part of who you are. You don't question it, you don't delay it, you just do it. If you can set up an automatic transfer into a separate savings account, the moment your income arrives, you'll protect yourself from temptation. You'll never miss what you never see. When you spend first and save later, you're telling yourself that savings are optional. But when you save first, you send a completely different message. You tell yourself that your goals come first. You're saying, I pay myself before I pay anyone else. That shift in thinking changes everything. It turns saving from an afterthought into a declaration of self-respect. You begin to value your effort differently because now, part of what you earn stays with you. Some people think they need a higher income to start saving, but that's not true. Saving is a mindset, not a number. If you can't save when you earn little, you won't save when you earn more. The habit has to come before the increase. There are countless stories of people earning large salaries who still live paycheck to paycheck because they never learned to put saving first. The amount you earn determines your comfort. The habit you build determines your stability. Start by naming your savings goals clearly. Maybe you want an emergency fund, a travel fund, or to invest in something meaningful. When your savings have a purpose, the motivation becomes stronger. You're not just setting money aside, you're directing it towards something that adds value to your life. It helps you stay committed because now, saving has meaning. It's not just money, it's preparation, security and freedom. If you find it hard to save first, remind yourself what spending does when it's uncontrolled. Every impulse purchase, every unnecessary expense, steals from your future. It's not about feeling guilty. It's about understanding the cost of delay. Every dollar you spend, thoughtlessly, could have been a small step toward independence. When you save first, you remove that regret. You give yourself peace before you give yourself pleasure. Another powerful strategy is to separate your accounts. Keep your savings account out of easy reach. If it's in the same place as you're spending money, temptation will find a way in. Make it slightly inconvenient to access. That inconvenience will protect you from emotional spending. When money is harder to touch, it grows quietly. Over time, you'll start to enjoy watching it increase. It will give you a sense of pride that no purchase can match. The beauty of saving first is that it teaches discipline without struggle. Once you get used to spending only what remains, you learn to adjust naturally. You begin to plan better, prioritize better, and think more clearly about your choices. You stop living at the edge of your income and start building a cushion between you and financial stress. That cushion is what gives you peace of mind. It means when an emergency comes, you don't panic. You're ready. Saving first also changes how you see money itself. It stops being something that comes and goes, and starts becoming something that builds. You begin to measure success, not by what you buy, but by what you keep. That's real progress. It's quiet, steady and powerful. You'll start to feel a shift, less anxiety, more confidence. You'll walk differently when you know you have money put aside. You'll speak differently when you're not worried about every expense. That confidence seeps into other areas of your life, because financial security builds emotional strength. Consistency is more important than amount. Don't wait for the perfect time to start saving. The perfect time is now. Even if you can save only a few dollars, start there. What matters is building the habit. Once you see it growing, you'll naturally want to increase it. Saving first is like watering a plant. You may not see results overnight, but in time it blooms. The earlier you start, the stronger it becomes. To make this habit stick, visualize your progress. Track your savings weekly or monthly. Seeing the numbers rise gives you motivation. It's a reminder that your discipline is working. You'll begin to associate saving with satisfaction instead of sacrifice. You'll start to feel proud each time you add to it, because you're proving to yourself that you're capable of consistency. If you're used to spending freely, saving first might feel uncomfortable at first, but that discomfort is temporary. It's the feeling of growth. When you stop giving in to every desire and start prioritizing your future, you're strengthening your self-control. The more you practice, the easier it becomes. Soon it won't feel like restriction. It will feel like empowerment, because you'll know that you're the one deciding where your money goes, not your impulses. To make spending what's left easier, create a simple structure. Divide what remains into essentials, small pleasures, and flexibility. Essentials are your basic needs, bills, food, transportation. Small pleasures are what keep life enjoyable. Maybe a coffee, a movie, a treat. Flexibility is for unexpected costs. When you know what's available for each area, you avoid overspending and reduce guilt. You're free to enjoy what's left without fear, because you've already taken care of your savings. One of the best feelings is when your savings start working for you. Once your emergency fund grows, you can move toward investments or long-term goals. You'll see your money multiplying through your choices. That's the power of saving first. It creates momentum. Every small amount adds up, and eventually, your savings begin to generate more income. That's when you realize how much control you truly have. Saving first is also a statement of independence. It means you're not waiting for luck, bonuses, or miracles. You're building your own foundation. You're proving to yourself that you can create stability with what you have right now. That mindset separates those who struggle financially from those who thrive. As the weeks go by, this habit will transform how you think about spending. You'll start questioning your purchases differently. You'll ask, "Do I really need this, or would I rather see my savings grow?" Most times you'll choose the latter, because it feels better. Watching your savings grow is a deeper joy than any quick purchase. It's not flashy, but it's lasting. The ultimate goal is freedom. The freedom to make choices without stress, to take opportunities without fear, and to handle life without panic. That kind of freedom only comes when you build it. Saving first and spending what's left is how you build it. It's simple, powerful, and timeless. So from now on, whenever money comes in, make one clear decision. Pay yourself first. Treat your savings as the first bill you owe. It's the most important payment you'll ever make, because it's a payment to your future self. When you live this way, your money starts serving you instead of controlling you. You begin to feel secure, confident, and calm. That's the reward of discipline. Not just having more, but becoming more. The day you decide to save first is the day you start changing your story. Because from that moment, you're not surviving anymore. You're building. And each time you save before spending, you're proving that your future is worth more than your impulses. That's where real financial strength begins. Not in how much you earn, but in how wisely you choose to keep what you have.
Chapter 6. Make saving feel rewarding, not restricting. Many people think of saving money as something that takes away their freedom. They see it as a limitation, a rule that stops them from enjoying life.
But the truth is, saving is not punishment, it's empowerment. When you make saving feel rewarding instead of restricting, you begin to enjoy the process rather than fight against it. You start seeing it as a gift to yourself, not a burden. It's the difference between feeling trapped and feeling in control. Real success in saving comes not from forcing yourself to do it, but from learning to love what it gives you. Saving should never feel like a chore, it should feel like progress. Every time you put money aside, you're building peace of mind, security and confidence. You're creating space to breathe. You're telling yourself, "I'm worth preparing for." The problem is, most people connect saving with missing out. They think, "If I save, I can't have fun." That mindset makes saving heavy. But when you start connecting saving with what it gives you, freedom, stability, and choice, it becomes something you look forward to. The first step to making saving feel rewarding is to give it purpose. Saving without a clear reason feels dull, like holding back for no reward. But saving with purpose feels exciting. When you know exactly why you're saving, it transforms the experience. Maybe you're saving for peace of mind, for a trip, for a home, or for financial independence. Name your goals clearly. Write them down. Each time you save, remind yourself what that money represents. It's not just numbers, it's the future you're building. Purpose gives emotion to discipline. Celebrate small wins along the way. Most people wait until they reach a big goal before they feel proud, but that's too far ahead. Break your goals into smaller milestones. Every time you reach one, acknowledge it. You can celebrate without spending. Smile, take a deep breath, and say, "I'm getting closer." This builds positive emotion around saving. The brain loves reward, and when you associate saving with pleasure instead of pain, it becomes natural. Another way to make saving feel rewarding is to track your progress visually. Seeing your growth creates motivation. Create a savings chart, use a progress bar, or write it in a journal. When you can see your numbers rise, it feels real. It gives you momentum. You'll find yourself checking your savings more often, not with anxiety, but with pride. Watching your progress build creates an emotional connection to your discipline. It's also important to reframe the way you think about spending. Many people believe that joy only comes from buying, but true satisfaction comes from control, not consumption. When you save money, you're not missing out, you're making room for something greater. You're giving yourself the power to say yes later, to opportunities, to freedom, to peace. Every dollar you save is a small victory against stress and uncertainty. You're not losing fun, you're gaining strength. To keep saving enjoyable, build a balance between discipline and pleasure. It's not about cutting out everything you love, it's about making conscious choices. You can still have fun, but do it within a plan. When you allow yourself small rewards intentionally, you avoid burnout. Maybe set aside a little fun fund each month. That way, you enjoy life while staying consistent. This balance keeps saving sustainable because you don't feel deprived. Restriction breeds rebellion, but structure builds freedom. You can also make saving more personal. Attach emotions to it. Instead of thinking, "I'm saving because I should," think, "I'm saving because I want to take care of myself." Saving is an act of self-respect. It's proof that you care about your own well-being. When you see it that way, the emotional tone changes. It's no longer something you owe. It's something you deserve. When you save, remind yourself what it brings. Peace when emergencies happen. Calm when others panic. Confidence when opportunities arise. Those emotions are priceless. That's the real reward. Many people underestimate how freeing it feels to not worry about money. That sense of calm is what you're really saving for. When you connect to that feeling, saving stops being a duty. It becomes something you're excited to do. Make saving part of your identity. Tell yourself, I'm the kind of person who saves. When saving becomes part of who you are, not just something you do, it lasts. You begin to take pride in being consistent. You start seeing yourself differently. Stronger, wiser, more capable. That identity fuels motivation. You no longer need to force the habit. It becomes natural. You can also make saving fun by adding creativity. For example, give your savings accounts names that inspire you. Freedom Fund, Dream Trip, or Future Home. When you label your savings with meaning, each contribution feels exciting. You're not transferring money. You're feeding a dream. You can even challenge yourself with saving games, like saving every $5 bill or setting a goal to beat your last month's total. These small actions keep the process alive and engaging. The key is to focus on progress, not perfection. There will be weeks when you can save less, and that's okay. What matters is consistency. Celebrate effort, not just results. Each deposit, no matter how small, is a sign of commitment. Over time, those small deposits become something powerful. The habit you build is far more important than the number in your account. One of the biggest shifts comes when you compare the feeling of saving to the feeling of overspending. Think about how you feel after buying something you didn't need. Temporary excitement followed by guilt. Now think about how you feel after saving. Calm, proud, secure. That feeling lasts. That's the emotional truth that keeps you going. Once you experience the deep satisfaction of control, quick pleasures lose their pull. You can also make saving social. Share your goals with someone you trust. Having accountability creates motivation. You can celebrate each other's progress and encourage each other when things get tough. It reminds you that saving isn't isolation, it's empowerment. You're not the only one doing it. You're part of a group of people choosing growth over impulse. Sometimes you'll need to remind yourself of the long-term benefits. The comfort of knowing you can handle an emergency without panic. The joy of reaching a goal you planned for. The pride in realizing you didn't just talk about saving. You did it. These are the moments that make the journey worthwhile. When you shift your mindset from, I can't spend, to I'm choosing to save, everything changes. One feels forced. The other feels powerful. It's a simple change in words, but it transforms your emotions. Saving becomes your decision, not a rule. And when something is your choice, it carries strength, not resistance. Even your environment can make saving more rewarding. Surround yourself with reminders of your goals, photos, notes, or quotes that keep you focused. When you see visual reminders of what you're saving for, it becomes harder to drift away. Each day, those reminders reinforce why you start. Making saving rewarding also means allowing yourself to enjoy milestones. When you hit a savings goal, do something meaningful. Maybe write yourself a letter about your progress, or take a quiet moment to reflect on how far you've come. Feel gratitude for your discipline. Gratitude turns saving from obligation into joy. In the end, saving is not about deprivation. It's about direction. It's not about saying no to life. It's about saying yes to a better version of. When you make saving feel rewarding, you stop seeing it as a sacrifice and start seeing it as self-care. You realize that every dollar you save is a step toward peace, toward options, toward a life that feels stable and fulfilled. Money doesn't bring happiness, but control over it does. When you save with pride instead of pressure, you change your relationship with money completely. You stop chasing temporary satisfaction and start building something lasting. You feel good not because you spent, but because you're growing. That's the real reward, knowing you're creating a future that supports you, not drains you. The journey of saving becomes enjoyable when you see it for what it truly is, a declaration that you value yourself and your future. Every deposit, every small step, every moment of patience is proof that you're moving closer to freedom. That's not restriction. That's power. That's the joy of saving with purpose and pride.
Chapter 7. Learn to enjoy life without constant spending. Enjoying life without constantly spending is one of the most valuable skills a person can develop.
It's not about rejecting comfort or denying pleasure. It's about understanding that joy doesn't come from what you buy. It comes from how you live. In today's world, people are surrounded by messages that say happiness is for sale. Every ad, every influencer, every trend tells you that if you just buy one more thing, you'll feel complete. But that illusion keeps you chasing satisfaction that never lasts. True enjoyment begins when you stop tying your happiness to money and start connecting it to experiences, relationships, and purpose. When you rely on spending to feel alive, life becomes expensive in more ways than one. You pay not just with your money, but with your peace of mind. The satisfaction fades quickly, and then you're left looking for the next purchase to fill the space. It's a cycle that drains both your wallet and your spirit. The first step in breaking it is to understand that pleasure and fulfillment are not the same thing. Pleasure fades, fulfillment stays. Learning to enjoy life without constant spending means focusing on the things that truly feed your soul, not just your senses. Start by noticing what makes you happy that doesn't cost anything. Think about moments when you laughed deeply, when you felt connected, when you felt proud of yourself. Those moments usually didn't come from spending, they came from living. A conversation with someone you care about, a quiet walk in nature, finishing a task that mattered, listening to your favorite music, these are the kinds of experiences that bring genuine joy. When you pay attention to them, you start realizing that happiness has been around you all along, waiting for you to slow down and see it. One reason people spend constantly is boredom. They confuse excitement with happiness. Shopping becomes a way to break the routine, to feel something different, but excitement fades fast, and then boredom returns stronger than before. The key is to replace artificial excitement with meaningful engagement. Learn something new, start a hobby, volunteer, read, exercise, cook, or create. When your mind is occupied with growth, you don't crave spending to fill the empty spaces. You're too busy living to miss the noise of consumption. Another reason people overspend is comparison. They see others with more nicer clothes, newer cars, bigger homes, and they start feeling like they're behind. But comparison steals joy. You can't enjoy what you have when you're focused on what others display. The truth is, everyone's highlight reel looks perfect from the outside. But happiness can't be measured by possessions. It's measured by peace. When you stop comparing, you free yourself to enjoy your own life exactly as it is. Learning to enjoy life without spending constantly also means rethinking what luxury means. Real luxury is not the price tag, it's the quality of experience. It's waking up without debt weighing on your shoulders. It's being able to rest peacefully at night. It's having time for what you love. It's sharing laughter without worrying about bills. That's the kind of wealth that money can't buy. When you understand this, simple things start to feel luxurious. A home-cooked meal becomes special. A slow morning feels rich. A moment of calm feels abundant. Gratitude is a powerful tool in this journey. When you focus on what you already have, you stop obsessing over what you lack. Spend a few minutes each day listing things you're thankful for. The more you notice your blessings, the less you feel the urge to chase more. Gratitude shifts your attention from scarcity to sufficiency. You realize that contentment doesn't come from adding more, but from appreciating enough. Social life is another area where people often overspend. Many believe that fun requires money, restaurants, movies, trips, or entertainment. But real connection doesn't depend on cost. Some of the best memories come from simple gatherings, talking at home, cooking together, playing games, watching the sunset. These moments have no price, but they stay in your heart longer than any expensive outing. When you focus on connection over consumption, relationships become deeper and more meaningful.
It's also important to slow down. Constant spending often comes from constant motion, the feeling that you always need to be doing something. But when you learn to enjoy stillness, you stop needing to fill your time with activities that cost money. Take time to rest, think, and be present. Sit outside and watch the world. Reflect on your goals. Listen to the sounds around you. When you learn to find peace in quiet moments, your need for stimulation fades. Creating a simple lifestyle doesn't mean giving up joy, it means clearing space for it. When your life isn't cluttered with constant purchases, your mind becomes lighter. You start noticing beauty in ordinary things. A cup of coffee in the morning feels more satisfying. A walk feels refreshing. A free afternoon feels like a gift. Simplicity gives you room to breathe, and in that space, happiness grows naturally. You can also shift your focus from consuming to creating. Every time you make something, a meal, a craft, a piece of writing, a garden, you feel a sense of accomplishment that buying can't replace. Creating connects you with your own potential. It gives you pride that doesn't fade after a few hours. People often underestimate how much joy comes from using their hands, their mind, and their creativity. When you create, you produce value from within instead of searching for it outside. Another key part of enjoying life without spending is being intentional with your time. Ask yourself how much of your day truly adds value. You might find that much of your time goes to things that don't matter. Scrolling, comparing, consuming. Replace some of that time with actions that feed your mind and heart. Read, learn, rest, reflect, connect, move. Time spent with purpose feels richer than money spent without thought. There's also freedom in saying no. When you stop chasing every invitation that costs money, you gain control of your priorities. You don't have to explain or apologize for choosing differently. It's okay to skip events that don't fit your budget or your peace. The right people will respect your choices, and those who don't aren't worth impressing. Choosing peace over pressure is one of the most empowering decisions you can make. As you practice living with less spending, you'll begin to notice how light it feels. The anxiety about keeping up starts to fade. You stop feeling pulled by trends or expectations. You start enjoying your own company. You begin to see that happiness is not something you buy, it's something you practice. It's a habit built through gratitude, presence, and awareness. You can still have dreams, goals, and things you want to own. But now you'll pursue them differently. You'll buy because it aligns with your values, not because you're trying to fill a void. You'll make choices with patience, not pressure. You'll enjoy spending when it's intentional because it won't come with guilt. The ultimate reward of learning to enjoy life without constant spending is financial peace, emotional peace, and mental peace. You no longer depend on things to feel alive. You carry happiness with you wherever you go. You start valuing experiences over possessions. Growth over status, meaning over material. That's where real wealth begins. Every time you resist the urge to spend for no reason, you're strengthening your independence. You're saying, I don't need to buy something to feel good. That kind of power builds slowly, but it changes everything. You stop living on the surface and start living from depth. You begin to enjoy the small details that used to pass unnoticed. The taste of your food, the sound of laughter, the warmth of sunlight. Those are the moments that fill life with richness. No purchase can match. Eventually, you'll realize that the happiest people aren't the ones who have everything. They're the ones who've learned to be content with enough. They've learned to find joy in living. Not buying, they've discovered that simplicity isn't emptiness, it's clarity. And that clarity allows you to truly experience life. When you master this mindset, money becomes a tool, not a crutch. You'll still earn, still buy, still enjoy, but now it's on your terms.
You'll choose what truly adds value and ignore what doesn't. You'll know how to live fully, even with less. That's real freedom, the ability to smile, breathe, and feel whole without needing to spend a cent. Learning to enjoy life without constant spending doesn't happen overnight. It takes awareness, patience, and intention. But once you experience the peace that comes from it, you'll never want to go back. Because you'll understand that joy isn't waiting at the store, it's already within you, ready to grow when you stop chasing what doesn't last.
Chapter 8. Track progress to stay proud and motivated. One of the most powerful ways to stay consistent with saving money and improving your financial habits is to track your progress. Progress creates motivation. When you see how far you've come, it gives you pride and energy to keep moving forward. The problem is, most people never track their growth. They only focus on how far they still have to go. That mindset steals joy from their journey. You don't need to wait until you reach your big goal to feel successful. Every small step deserves recognition because those small steps are what create lasting change. Tracking progress is not just about numbers, it's about awareness. It's a reminder that what you're doing is working. When you can see your results in front of you, your belief grows stronger. You stop saying, "It's not enough," and start saying, "I'm getting somewhere." That shift in perspective keeps your motivation alive. You begin to enjoy the process instead of rushing through it. Start by setting a clear baseline. Know exactly where you are before you begin. How much are you saving each month? How much debt do you still have? What are your current habits? Write them down. This is your starting point. It doesn't matter if it looks small or messy, it's the foundation you'll build on. From here, every bit of progress you make becomes visible and measurable. Without this clarity, you'll never know how much you've truly improved. Once you have your baseline, decide how you'll track your progress. It could be a notebook, a journal, a phone app, or even a simple spreadsheet. The method doesn't matter as long as it's easy for you to use consistently. What matters is that you can see your progress clearly and regularly. Write down every savings deposit, every reduction in spending, every debt payment, and every milestone reached. Watching the numbers grow, even slowly, builds momentum. You'll begin to connect effort with reward, and that connection is what keeps you going. The brain responds strongly to visual cues. When you can see your progress visually, it becomes more motivating. Create a progress chart, a thermometer graph, or a savings tracker where you can fill in sections as you reach new levels. It might seem simple, but it's powerful. Each time you color in a new section or write down a new total, it feels like a personal victory. It's proof that your effort is paying off. Visual progress reminds you that you're in control of your direction. Don't make the mistake of only tracking money. Track habits too. Write down how many times you resisted an unnecessary purchase, how many days you followed your plan, or how often you made conscious spending decisions. These are the daily wins that lead to financial transformation. When you recognize them, you start to build identity-based motivation. You no longer say, "I'm trying to save." You start saying, "I'm becoming someone who makes smart choices." That's where real confidence begins. There will be days when progress feels slow. You'll look at your savings and think it's not growing fast enough. That's when tracking becomes essential. Because when you look back at your earlier records, you'll see how far you've actually come. Progress is easy to miss when you only look forward. Reflection keeps you grounded. It reminds you that growth is happening, even when it's not dramatic. One of the most effective habits is to review your progress weekly or monthly. Set aside a few minutes to look at your numbers and reflect on your behavior. Ask yourself, what worked well?
What could I improve next time? Where did I feel tempted? What made me proud? This simple review helps you stay aware and intentional. It also helps you make small adjustments before bad habits sneak back in. Consistent reflection keeps your momentum strong and your focus sharp. Progress tracking should feel rewarding, not stressful. This isn't about perfection, it's about awareness. If you miss a week, don't punish yourself, just start again. The goal is consistency, not flawlessness. Think of it as a conversation with yourself. You're checking in, not judging. When you track with kindness and curiosity, it becomes something you look forward to, rather than something you dread. A great way to make progress tracking exciting is to create milestones and celebrate them. For example, when you reach your first $100 saved, do something meaningful. When you pay off your first debt, take a quiet moment to acknowledge it. Celebrating progress keeps the emotional connection alive. It teaches your brain that effort brings reward. This kind of reinforcement builds long-term motivation more effectively than any external encouragement. Another benefit of tracking is accountability. When you record your progress, you become more aware of your actions. You think twice before spending, because you know you'll have to write it down later. This gentle accountability keeps you aligned with your goal. You start to feel responsible for your own progress, and that responsibility turns into pride. It's also important to measure progress beyond money itself. Look at how your mindset is changing. Are you feeling more confident? Less anxious about bills, more patient with your goal? Write these reflections down. Emotional progress is just as valuable as financial progress. You're not just saving money, you're growing stronger, calmer, and more disciplined. Tracking these feelings reminds you that success is about more than numbers. If you struggle with motivation, use your tracking system as a visual story of your growth. Flip back through your notes, or look at your charts from earlier month. Seeing your journey laid out in front of you reignites your belief in yourself. You start realizing that you've already done something difficult. You started, and you kept going. That realization fuels your determination to keep pushing forward. To make progress tracking part of your lifestyle, attach it to a habit you already do regularly. For example, review your finances every Sunday evening, or update your savings log after payday. Linking it to an existing habit makes it automatic. You won't need to rely on willpower, because it becomes a routine part of your week. You can even turn progress tracking into something enjoyable. Play your favorite music while reviewing your finances. Make it a moment of gratitude and reflection. Look at how your choices are shaping your life, and feel proud of the discipline you've built. This emotional connection makes saving and tracking less about duty and more about satisfaction. Progress tracking also gives you the opportunity to correct course quickly. When you notice spending creeping up or saving slowing down, you can act immediately. Without tracking, these issues go unnoticed until they become serious. But when you're aware, you stay in control. It's like checking your direction on a journey. You make small adjustments before you drift too far from your destination. Another thing to remember is that progress looks different for everyone. Don't compare your journey to someone else's. Some people save faster because they earn more or spend less. That's fine. What matters is that you're improving from where you started. Progress is personal. Measure it against your own goals, not someone else's result. When you focus on your own path, your motivation becomes pure and sustainable. If you ever feel tired or tempted to quit, go back to your early records, look at the first amount you saved, the first week you tracked, the first time you stuck to your plan. Let that remind you how far you've come. You've already built discipline that many people never reach. You're not starting over, you're continuing a process that's already working. Over time, Tracking progress turns saving into something more than a goal. It becomes a lifestyle. You start enjoying the rhythm of improvement. You begin to crave that feeling of achievement that comes when you update your numbers and see them grow. You no longer wait for motivation to appear. Your progress creates it for you. Eventually, you'll realize that tracking your growth doesn't just improve your finances, it improves your character. It builds patience, awareness, and gratitude. It shows you that effort compounds not just in your bank account, but in your mindset. You become someone who doesn't give up when results are slow, because you've learned that growth is always happening, even when it's quiet. The habit of tracking progress is one of the greatest investments you can make in yourself. It gives you a record of proof that your choices matter. It teaches you that consistency beats perfection. And it reminds you that progress is not just about reaching the finish line, it's about honoring every step along the way. When you take time to notice your growth, you create motivation that lasts. See, you no longer depend on external rewards or pressure. You start finding joy in the process itself. Each week, each month, you build a stronger sense of pride and purpose. That's how change becomes permanent, not through willpower alone, but through awareness and appreciation of your progress. Tracking progress keeps your fire alive. It's the mirror that reflects how far you've come, and the compass that keeps you moving forward. When you can see your progress clearly, you stop doubting your effort. You start believing in your ability to grow, and that belief, once it's strong enough, can carry you through anything.
Chapter 9. Build a mindset that values future comfort more. Most people spend their lives chasing comfort in the moment without realizing they're sacrificing the comfort of their future. They want relief today, not realizing that every decision builds tomorrow's reality. Building a mindset that values future comfort more means learning to beyond the moment. It's training your mind to choose peace later over pleasure now. It's deciding that your long-term freedom is worth more than short-term satisfaction. This shift in thinking separates those who constantly struggle from those who build lasting security. When you think about comfort, you must understand that not all comfort is equal. The comfort that comes from spending on something new fades quickly, but the comfort that comes from preparation stays with you. There's a difference between being temporarily relieved and being permanently at peace. Most people live in cycles of short-term relief, shopping when stressed, eating out when bored, buying things they don't need just to feel good for a few hours. But when the feeling fades, they're left with more worry, more debt, and less control. The comfort of the future is built by those who learn patience today. Building a future-focused mindset begins with awareness. You must start asking yourself before every decision, is this choice helping me later or only now? That one question creates space between impulse and intention. It forces you to think ahead, to weigh the cost of your actions, and to make decisions that align with your goals. It's not about living in restriction, it's about living with vision. When you make choices with your future self in mind, life begins to move in a direction that feels stable, strong, and fulfilling. You need to start seeing your future self as someone you deeply care about. Imagine that person clearly. Think about how they live, how they feel, and how grateful they'd be if you took care of them now. When you picture your future self struggling, you realize that every careless decision today adds weight to their shoulders. But when you save, plan, and act wisely, you're giving that person comfort and peace. The thought of helping your future self should feel empowering, not burdensome. It's an act of self-respect. A mindset that values future comfort grows from small, consistent decisions. It's choosing to cook at home instead of eating out, to save before spending, to learn before buying. These choices might feel small in the moment, but over time they shape the direction of your life. The future is built from habits repeated quietly every day. Every time you make a decision that protects your tomorrow, you're reinforcing this mindset. It's not about being perfect, it's about being intentional. Another part of building this mindset is learning to delay gratification. Most people struggle with waiting because they've been conditioned to want everything instantly. The modern world rewards impatience, quick purchases, fast delivery, instant entertainment, but nothing meaningful comes instantly. Growth, peace, and financial security take time. When you learn to wait, you gain control over your impulses. You stop chasing instant pleasure and start building steady progress. Waiting isn't losing, it's investing in something better. You also have to learn to redefine reward. Instead of thinking, "I deserve to spend because I've worked hard," start thinking, "I deserve peace because I've worked hard." This change in thinking keeps you from undoing your progress. Many people earn more money only to spend more money, leaving them in the same position as before. But when you redefine what it means to treat yourself, you create habits that protect your future. Real reward isn't something you buy, it's something you build. To strengthen this mindset, surround yourself with reminders of your goals. Write them down and keep them visible. Create a clear picture of the comfort you want later, a paid-off home, a savings cushion, a worry-free life. These reminders help you resist temptation when it arises. Every time you feel the urge to spend on something that doesn't matter, think about that future comfort. Imagine what it will feel like to wake up knowing you're secure. That feeling lasts far longer than any temporary pleasure. Building this mindset also means facing the truth about how much short-term comfort has cost you in the past. Look back honestly. How many times did you buy something you didn't need just to feel better? How long did that feeling last? What could that money have become if it had been saved or invested? Reflecting on those moments is not about guilt. It's about clarity. You can't build a better future if you keep pretending that instant pleasure has no consequences. Once you face the truth, it becomes easier to change. Discipline plays a big role here, but it doesn't have to feel hard. Discipline simply means remembering what you want most instead of what you want now. Every decision becomes a test, comfort today or comfort tomorrow. And when you consistently choose tomorrow, something amazing happens. You start to feel proud of yourself. That pride becomes its own reward. You realize that the peace of being in control feels far better than the thrill of spending without thought. It's also important to create systems that support your mindset. Don't rely only on willpower. Automate your savings, set reminders for your goals, and keep track of your progress. Make the path to the future easier than the path to distraction. Systems protect you when your emotions try to take over. The less effort it takes to do the right thing, the more consistent you'll be. You must also guard your environment carefully. The people you spend time with, the content you consume, and the habits you observe all shape your thinking. If you're surrounded by those who glorify spending, you'll feel pressured to keep up. But when you're around people who value stability, growth, and purpose, you start thinking differently. Choose influences that remind you of what matters most. To value future comfort, you must also learn to enjoy the process of growth itself. It's not just about waiting for results, it's about appreciating what happens as you change. Every time you make a smart financial choice, you're proving to yourself that you can grow stronger. That progress brings its own kind of joy. The act of improving becomes satisfying on its own. You don't need to wait for the end result to feel proud. You can feel proud every time you stay consistent. When you live with this mindset, stress begins to fade. You stop fearing the future because you're preparing for it. You stop chasing pleasure because you've built peace. You start walking with confidence, knowing that every decision is a step toward comfort that will last. The daily sacrifices begin to feel smaller,
because the vision of your future becomes clearer. That's when you know your mindset has truly changed. You stop seeing saving or planning as loss and start seeing them as gifts to your future self. It's important to remember that valuing future comfort doesn't mean living without enjoyment now. It means finding balance. It means you still allow yourself moments of joy, but you plan them wisely. You don't spend impulsively, you spend intentionally. You enjoy the present without destroying the future. This balance is what creates lasting happiness. A life that feels good now, and late in time, this mindset becomes natural. You stop fighting with yourself, because your priorities become clear. You begin to take pride in saying no when it matters. You start feeling powerful when you save instead of spend. That's the strength of someone who values the long game over the short thrill. You realize that peace of mind is the highest form of comfort, and that's what you're building with every choice. When you think about your life years from now, imagine yourself living without constant worry, free from debt, surrounded by calm, confident in your stability. That's what your daily discipline is buying you. It's not deprivation, it's investment in a future where you can finally breathe easily. Each small act of restraint today creates a smoother, easier tomorrow. So choose to build a mindset that treasures what's ahead. Every time you pause before a purchase, every time you choose to save, every time you think beyond the moment, you're training your mind to care about your future more deeply. The satisfaction that comes from that awareness lasts a lifetime. The person you'll become will thank you, not for what you bought, but for what you built, because true comfort isn't found in what you own. It's found in the peace of knowing you made choices that protect your tomorrow.
Chapter 10. Turn saving into your everyday way of living. Turning saving into your everyday way of living is not just about managing money, it's about reshaping your entire lifestyle. It's choosing consistency over occasional effort. It's making saving such a natural part of your life that you no longer think of it as something you should do, but as something you simply do, like eating, sleeping, or breathing. When saving becomes instinctive, you no longer depend on motivation or reminders. You make decisions automatically that protect your peace, your stability, and your future. Saving daily is about identity, not income. You don't need to be rich to live like a saver, you just need to think like one. The person who saves consistently will always be more secure than the one who earns more, but spends carelessly, because saving is not about how much you make, it's about how much you keep and how intentionally you live. When saving becomes part of who you are, every decision naturally aligns with that belief. You start thinking long-term, planning with care, and living with awareness. To make saving a lifestyle, you have to remove the idea that it's a temporary effort. Most people treat saving like a phase, something they'll do until they reach a goal or fix a problem. But that thinking makes saving fragile. The moment they reach a milestone, they stop and slip back into old habits. The truth is, saving is not a one-time solution, it's a lifelong practice. It doesn't end when the emergency fund is full or the goal is reached. It continues, because life never stops requiring preparation. When you make saving permanent, you stay ready for anything. Start small, but make it consistent. Even saving a little every day can create a powerful rhythm. It could be as simple as rounding up your spending or setting aside loose change. The goal is to build momentum. When saving becomes part of your daily routine, it strengthens your discipline. You begin to feel a sense of accomplishment every time you do it. Over time, it becomes as natural as brushing your teeth. You don't question it, you just do it. To live this way, you have to shift your thinking from scarcity to intention.
Saving isn't about restriction or fear, it's about freedom and choice. Every time you save, you're creating space for yourself to live with less stress. You're giving yourself options. When something unexpected happens, you're not panicking, you're prepared. That peace of mind is what turns saving into a rewarding lifestyle. It's not about depriving yourself, it's about protecting yourself. Look for saving opportunities in everyday actions. You don't need big sacrifices to live this way, you just need awareness. Maybe you brew your own coffee instead of buying it out. Maybe you walk instead of driving short distances. Maybe you compare prices before purchasing, or use what you already have instead of replacing it. These small decisions add up quietly. You begin to realize that saving isn't a separate act, it's part of how you live. It's embedded in the way you think, plan, and act every single day. Another way to make saving natural is to create systems that support it automatically. Set up transfers that move a portion of your income into savings the moment you get paid. Automate bills so you avoid late fees. Use apps or bank features that help you round up transactions. When saving is automated, it removes effort from the process. You no longer rely on self-control, you rely on structure. And that structure keeps you consistent even on days when you're distracted or tired. Surround yourself with reminders of the lifestyle you're building. Create a vision of what your life will look like because of your daily saving habits. Maybe it's financial freedom, a peaceful home, early retirement, or simply living without debt. Visual reminders keep your discipline alive. Each time you see them, you reconnect with your purpose. This turns saving into something meaningful instead of mechanical. You're not just following rules, you're building a future you can feel proud of. To make saving an everyday habit, you also have to enjoy the process. Find satisfaction in it. Take a moment to notice how it feels when you transfer money into savings. Feel proud of every smart decision you make. The more you connect saving with positive emotions, the more naturally it becomes part of your identity. Saving isn't about guilt, it's about self-respect. It's about taking pride in your ability to think ahead. Living as a saver also means learning to simplify your choices. The less cluttered your life is with unnecessary things, the easier it becomes to save. Simplicity creates space for time, for peace, for priority. When you stop chasing things that don't add value, you automatically save more without even trying. You begin to realize that contentment doesn't require excess. It requires clarity, and that clarity makes saving feel effortless. Consistency is what transforms this mindset into reality. You can't treat saving like an occasional event. It has to become a habit. Habits are built through repetition. Every time you save, even a small amount, you strengthen the pattern. The brain begins to associate saving with security and pride. Eventually it becomes automatic. You no longer debate whether to save, you just do it. That's the power of repetition. It rewires your thinking until the behavior becomes second nature. A key part of turning saving into your lifestyle is also learning to plan for joy. Saving doesn't mean you stop enjoying life. It means you do it smarter. Plan your fun, budget for experiences, and celebrate responsibly. When you plan for enjoyment instead of spending impulsively, you remove guilt and stress. You can have both financial discipline and happiness when you prepare for both. A well-planned treat feels better because it doesn't set you back. To sustain this lifestyle, review your progress often. Tracking your savings growth gives you energy. It's proof that your choices matter. When you look at your balance and see it rise, you feel proud of your consistency. You start associating progress with satisfaction. This internal reward keeps the habit alive longer than any external motivation could. You realize that saving every day is not about restriction. It's about steady improvement. As your savings grow, your mindset evolves. You stop living in survival mode and start thinking strategically. You no longer make decisions out of panic or emotion. You begin to view money as a tool rather than a problem. You use it wisely, purposefully, and calmly. That's when saving becomes effortless.
because you've built trust in yourself. You know that every time money enters your hands, you'll handle it with care. It's also important to share this mindset with those around you. When saving becomes part of your everyday life, it influences others. Friends, family, even children notice the way you make choices. You teach by example that discipline brings peace. Talking about saving openly helps normalize it. It changes the culture around you. When saving becomes part of how a family or community lives, everyone benefits from shared responsibility and encouragement. There will still be times when saving feels challenging. Life will throw unexpected costs your way, and your progress might slow down. But if saving is already part of your identity, you won't quit, you'll adjust. You'll know that setbacks don't erase progress. They're just part of the process. Because a saver doesn't panic, they adapt. That adaptability is what keeps you strong through every season of life. The longer you live this way, the more rewarding it becomes. You start feeling calm in situations that used to cause stress. You stop fearing bills or surprises. You begin to make plans for the future with excitement instead of anxiety. That peace is the real reward of turning saving into your way of life. It's not the number in the account that matters most. It's the confidence you gain, knowing you're in control of your destiny. Eventually, saving becomes invisible. You no longer see it as a task or a goal. It's just part of how you live. You think twice before spending, not because you're forcing yourself to, but because you genuinely want to. You plan, prepare, and protect what you've built, because it feels natural to do so. And in that moment, you'll realize that you've reached a level of freedom few people ever experience. The freedom of knowing that your habits are working for you, not against you. When saving becomes your everyday way of living, you stop waiting for financial peace. You live it. You don't chase money to feel safe. You build safety through discipline. You don't depend on luck or circumstances. You depend on your consistency. And that consistency turns into something far greater than wealth. It turns into confidence, stability, and independence. So let saving be more than a strategy. Let it be your lifestyle. Let it guide your choices, shape your habits, and define your values. Because when saving is how you live, not just what you do, you become unstoppable. You move through life with peace instead of pressure, pride instead of regret, and freedom instead of fear. That's the ultimate goal, to make saving not a chapter of your story, but the way you live every single day.